Resorts World Catskills, where luxury and excitement are so close by. Catch all the sports action and so much more at Resorts World Catskills. Dial *RWCAT to learn more.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com. The Dave Rothenberg Show on 98.7 ESPN.
And a good Saturday morning to you and yours. Rothenberg with you on 98.7 ESPN. We're week 14 of the NFL season in some bizarro way. The season goes faster than anything in the entire world. Even when the Giants and Jets stink, which clearly they do, the NFL season absolutely rushes by. Gerrit Cole sounds like there's an increasing chance that he's going to wind up on the Yankees. And if he does, you can hand the World Series trophy to the Yankees. And I know Yankee fans will say, well, we didn't hit in the postseason. If you add Gerrit Cole to that team, that's a World Series champion. All right, so we got that going on. Lot going on. Rangers, tough loss last night. 2-1 at the Garden. Tied late. Canadiens score, and they lose that one 2-1. But I guess, and this has to be our jumping off point, and probably the bulk of our show today, and we'll open it up to you guys. So the whole, that's the Knicks. And that's the coaching situation. And that's, we're just in seemingly, and I gotta be honest, and I apologize in advance, and I think you feel the same way. You're hard pressed to find a lot of positivity when it comes to the Knicks right now. I mean, what do you even say that you look at and you say, right, well, that's good. RJ Barrett? What else? So yesterday, and you had a feeling this was on the horizon. I heard Donnie said it before the show in a pre-show meeting. I know Rick said it before we did our show yesterday and during our show yesterday. How is Fizdale going to even make the day? And you know what the answer was? He wasn't, and he didn't, and he's out. Now, do I think Fizdale was a good coach? Not really. Do I think that you bring in Mike Miller or Mark Jackson or Jeff Van Gundy or Red Auerbach or any of these guys, and all of a sudden you have a magical change with this team? No. The Knicks are lousy. And what's so upsetting to me is this was supposed to be the year that they were relevant. And they're always relevant for the wrong reasons. And as a Knicks fan, it drives you insane. Is that it's the same song and dance every single year. So, you know, all the time, and I guess you probably hear me, and if not, I'll repeat myself. And that is, I'll say with the Patriots, you know what? I am on the Patriots bandwagon until I'm not. Right? Like, until they lost to the Ravens, fine. They lost to the Texans, fine. They might lose to the Chiefs, fine. When it comes down to postseason football, I still believe in the New England Patriots. Take that, reverse it, and that's how I feel about the Knicks. I have no faith, none, zero, that anything positive is ever going to come from this team. And there will be a time where something will happen, and the shift of power will change, and they will be a relevant, competent basketball team. But I haven't seen that in almost 20 years. And yeah, I had the blip of 54-28 in second round, and Roy Hibbert and the block of Carmelo Anthony, game six in Indiana. Yeah, we've had minuscule moments of that, but it's the same song and dance. And at this point, now I read them the Riot Act at the time, and we'll never really be able to root for Kristaps Porzingis. But at this point, do you think he looks foolish for what he marched into with those orders and said, get me out of this city? Get me off of this team? Get me out of this organization? Do you realize that of the entirety, Clippers, Mavericks, Heat, Thunder, you pick any team, Raptors, 76ers who tanked for years in Philadelphia. Do you realize that the last 20 years, there is not one team that has a worse record in the NBA than the Knicks? So what are we just supposed to blindly follow this into the abyss? No, you got to say it's not okay, and it's not okay. And I don't know how it gets better. I don't. I'm supposed to believe in Steve Mills and Scott Perry? Well, why? They sold me last year that this was going to be different this year, and it's worse this year. The Knicks are actually a worse team this year than they were last year. We've got a plan B. This plan B is going to completely blow you out of the water. This, I can't believe this is a plan B. This would be like a plan L. If B, C, D, and all the way down the line don't work, this is the plan. Bobby Portis, you're the guy. Marcus Morris, who I actually like. Julius Randle, who I actually don't like. Because watching Randle play makes me want to pull my hair out. And being a Knicks fan is so difficult. And you look at what this city is right now, between the Jets and the Giants and the Knicks. It's tough. And to be a Mets fan at this very moment, now it looks like those fortunes may change, and that certainly is exciting on a completely different avenue. But the Knicks already have that. The Knicks already have one of the wealthiest people in the world that owns the team, and they still can't get out of their own way. So I don't know if you want to blame Fizdale. I don't know if you want to blame Perry. I don't know if you want to blame Mills. I don't know if you want to blame the owner, but you know what? Go on ahead. This guy was winning at a 20% clip. You begged and barred and gave Phil Jackson tens of millions of dollars to sleep, literally sleep on the job. How can you have any positivity? How can I say it's never going to turn around? No. But when? And is it going to be at the point where you've ruined RJ Barrett? I hope not. But what do you have? And I'm sick of the conversation. Well, Frank, if you really dig deep, you see that Frank Ntilikina is a good defensive point guard, and every fourth game, I don't care. He was a top 10 pick. You took him over Donovan Mitchell. Well, if you look at Kevin Knox and realize he's still such a young, he's terrible. He's not a plus player. How many guys do the Knicks have that if you were a good team, you'd say, I wish I had that on my team? How many? Mitchell Robinson? So what would Mitchell, on a good team, what's Mitchell Robinson going to do for you? On a good team, he's going to be, I don't know, 22 minutes a night? On a good team, what's RJ Barrett going to be for you? Now, I like him, and I think he's going to be a good player. And I think he's got a good head on his shoulders. But on a good team, RJ Barrett probably doesn't play a ton of minutes right now. Marcus Morris on a good team is kind of the lifeblood of it, where he maybe even starts. Gives you 26 minutes a game. Big spot, comes up with a big shot, big defensive stop. That's the best the Knicks have to offer right now. So do I think that Fizdale was good? No. I think they brought him in here to coach the better player. I think they brought him in here to help bring in the better player. And in typical Knicks fashion, this is what you got. You were terrible last year. There was the promise that things were going to get better. And they're worse. So that's where we are. So welcome to Knicks basketball. So am I going to be rough on him? How can you not be? Really, how can you look at this organization and not be frustrated and angry and saddened? And you know what the most amazing thing is? Now, I've not been to a game yet this year, full disclosure. But they've been bad for years. And I did the pre and the post for years. And I was at the Garden every single day. And you know what? The place is sold out. So it's amazing. These poor people. The team's going out there winning 26 or 31 or 18 or 25 games, and you're still there, lining up to watch it over and over and over. So would I like Mark Jackson? Sure. Do I think he gets the job? I'm not sure. Would I like Jeff Van Gundy? Yes. Do I think he gets the job? I'm hopeful. That would be my first choice. But things have to change. They have to change. And I'm sorry, but you can tell me that Mills and Perry have done a good job? Can you honestly tell me that? You say, well, Perry's only been there, but what have they done? What have they done? What, you know, people say, well, Gettleman's only been there for 2 years, but what has he done? How long do you need to see a guy to know if he's not doing a good job? So I want another regime to come in here, hire the coach, see what they can do, and then realize, you know what, maybe Mills and Perry aren't the guy. They're going to win 15 games this year, 18 games this year. You just hope that one of these three kids is the real deal and they can get one of them. And that's Anthony, Edwards, and Ball. Because you got to figure right now, there's no way you don't have a top three selection if you're the Knicks.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
All right, Rothenberg with you, 98.7 ESPN. Wayne Barr tweets and stop bleeding about the Knicks. Every listener knows their sad history. Instead, discuss what may happen down the road for the Knicks or move on to another topic. Listen, you've been the basement of the NBA for 20 years. I can have some negativity, no? You think this is all Rothenberg? He's so negative. Did you see what Greg Popovich came out and said, or Steve Kerr came out and said? Just destroying the Knicks. Steve Kerr said, if I was there, I would have been out 3 years ago, and I wouldn't be in the position I'm in now. So where do you go from here? I mean, you'd love to go after a guy like Masai Ujiri to run this whole thing. Here's the keys. It's all yours. Have at it. I'd like Jeff Van Gundy. I like Mark Jackson. I like Van Gundy better than Jackson. But you have to draft well. And you have to get a point guard, for God's sakes. But right now, just talent-wise. I mean, do I think that Fizdale was great? No. Do I think that you could have... Who's the best coach in the NBA right now? Who do you think? Popovich? Who? Doc Rivers? Who? You tell me. Brad Stevens? Whoever you think it is, do you think that this team would... What are they, 4-18? Do you think they'd be any better than... 7-15 right now? No, the answer is no. The answer is they're not. They wouldn't be. They're bad. They've been bad. Now, can it change? It can change. But again, when you look at what you do, if you don't hit in the draft, if you don't hit in the top 10 of the draft, it's not going to change. And we talk about it all the time. You took Frank Ntilikina over Donovan Mitchell. That is hard to recover from. Then he took Kevin Knox. Now, Barrett looks legit, but he was the third pick in the draft. Should look legit. But that's how it changes. You have to draft well. You have to bring in the right decision maker at the top. Let's go to Bob in Long Island. Bob, lead us off. You're on Saturday morning.
Yeah, I agree with you. Everything you said, 1,000%. But you said it's 20 years of frustration. When did James Dolan take over the Knicks?
20 years ago.
Yeah, exactly the point. Donald Trump. They have similar situations here. Dolan likes to be around losers. The fans who
I don't think he likes to be around losers.
Bob,
I think that he has guys that he trusts, and maybe some of those decisions are not the right ones. But I don't think he likes to be around losers. There's no way James Dolan is closing his office door and being like, all right, guys, here's an ear. We need losers in here. I think that he puts his trust in the wrong guys sometimes. Clearly, Phil Jackson was the wrong guy. Clearly, Isaiah Thomas was the wrong guy. Possibly, probably, Steve Mills is the wrong guy. I can't tell you anything about Scott Perry, but I'll tell you, it hasn't worked out so far. But that's the thing. It's so new. But can I be annoyed and frustrated and disgusted because it's 2 years in or a year and a half in? Or do I have the right to say, I don't like it? Roger in the Bronx. Roger, you're on 98.7.
Hey, what's up, man? Big fan. Love you on the weekdays.
Thank you, Roger. I appreciate it. What's going on?
Yeah, you guys are funny. No.
Who do you find to be, honestly, in this between you and I, who do you find to be the funniest of the three?
The funniest of the three?
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest. Don't tell the other two for you.
Me? Yeah, I figured it was. I could tell you're an intelligent guy. Go ahead. What's on your mind today?
Yeah, I'm a native New Yorker. I was born and raised in the Bronx. I grew up a Yankees fan. I grew up a Giants and a Jets fan. Football is my third favorite sport, honestly. So I don't care which one is good. Like, I support both. Basketball was the only sport
I played. If this is a different day, Roger, I take you to task, but I'm in no mood to have at it with you over that. But continue along.
All right. basketball is the only sport I didn't grow up a New York fan, thank God. I fell in love with Kobe Bryant when I was a kid, so imagine I grew up a Lakers fan. I mean, it is what it is. That's just me. Knicks fans have got to – they've got to yell to the owner of the Knicks. The dude is a bad owner. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. He really is. I'm glad Fizdale is out of that dysfunctionality. First of all, how do you let Phil Jackson pick Neil Aquino – to then fire him instead of firing him before the draft?
Yeah, I can't make sense of it. I can't. I'm not going to sit here and defend it or apologize for it. It made no sense at the time. It makes less sense now. Now you see what Donovan Mitchell is. And the thing that's so frustrating, thanks for the call, Roger, the thing that's so frustrating, it's not like it was a clear-cut, you know, 10-0, oh, we've got to take Neil Aquino. There was a big fracture in this organization of people who wanted Donovan Mitchell. But in typical Knicks fashion, Neil Aquino wins out, and now you see what you've got. Spike in Jersey. Spike, can you cheer me up on a Saturday?
Good morning, my friend. I'm so happy they got rid of that guy, and I will take any one of the above that you mentioned. I think that what's been neglected to say is that they never should have let Woody go, Mike Woodson. They didn't even give him an interview, and he did a hell of a job for them. There was accountability there. If you remember, he got Shumpert and JR, who weren't great players, but on this team, they'd be starters. So it's over now. Let's bring someone in. I don't want him to ruin the kid from Duke, Barrett, and too many minutes he's playing him. He looks like a player to me, though. You said it at the beginning of this.
Mike, I completely agree with you. I've never wavered on that. I think that R.J. Barrett is a really nice player.
But you can ruin him quickly if you use him incorrectly. Mitchell Robinson, that was probably the best game of his life the other night. I don't count games where you're down by 40. Why they waited so long is beyond me. I thought they were going to pull a Willie Randolph like the Mets did. And they were going back to, he's an East L.A. guy. And he'll land somewhere. He didn't deliver. He said he'd bring a star, and he didn't deliver. That's it. Frank Ntilikina, and I'm sure you've heard me say it on other programs, he's turned into Tony Allen. I mean, that's what he is. He's a defensive guy, second guard off the bench to lock down a good guy. I don't see more than that, do you?
No. And I think his upside is, and let's be fair, Tony Allen is a better player right now than Frank Ntilikina. The upside, if things work out well, he's going to be Tony Allen, which, again, is there's a definite use for, but he's not what you thought you were going to get. He's certainly not Donovan Mitchell, and he's not a special player by any stretch.
Well, wait a minute. I want to contest one thing with Donovan Mitchell with you. You know how much I respect your basketball acumen. Donovan Mitchell wasn't just passed by the Knicks. He was passed by a half a dozen teams.
All right, but the Knicks were having conversations internally of where do we go? And you're
right.
All right.
But
you know what? You could say the same thing about Pat Mahomes. You could say the same thing about a lot of guys. But I mean, how come the Knicks never hit on it? How come every single time the Knicks do the wrong thing? You know, if half the time you did the right thing, it'd be a lot easier to deal with the other things. James in Spring Valley, another one of my guys. James, you're on 98.7.
Hey, Dave. Always a big fan of you, and I always love you on the weekend. I don't approve of them bullying you.
That's what they do. This is the life that I've gotten myself into. They're big bullies, and they say no, but this is what they do, and I can. It's fine. It's fine. Because you know why? Because people like you, James, you see the truth, and you see how I'm bullied, and now you take my side, and that bothers them.
Absolutely. Now, as a Knicks fan, obviously, it's been terrible, and there's no poo-pooing about it. And my question is, I think Steve Mills and Scott Perry, as right or wrong it is, they have to be on the clock. And their jobs need to be ticking, because you can't just fire Fizdale and think their jobs are safe, too. And they're responsible for this mess. They sold us a bill of goods. They said that, oh, this Plan B is going to be so great, and we're going to have a great season, and we're already still the laughing stock of the league. So my question is, if they're gone, assuming they're going to be gone, is someone like Masai Ujiri or any other candidate, who would you think would be perfect for here? Because if you're going to be running the Knicks, you got to make sure that Dolan gives you the autonomy to do whatever you
want
to do.
I mean, I'd want the best of the best, so I would.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, you're very welcome. I mean, the guy Jerry West, he's not going to come here. That's the problem. Is these guys aren't going to come here. Jerry West isn't going to leave L.A. and come here. So who's going to wind up here? I mean, I would absolutely back up the Brinks truck and drop it off at the doorstep of Masai Ujiri. Look what he's done. Look what they're still doing there in Toronto. He's still capable. They lose a top three player in the world, and they're still one of the better teams in the Eastern Conference. I would love to have him. But would he want this job? Would he want to deal with the headaches of New York City? I don't know. See, my thought, and clearly I'm wrong, is that if you win or you're successful in New York with the Knicks, that trumps anything. Anything else in all of the NBA. But nobody seems to want that challenge, and nobody seems to want to come here and accept that. So maybe we're just all wrong. This idea of, you know, the Knicks and the Mecca and the Garden, and if you win here, it's bigger and better. But the thing that I do not understand is, same owner, same building, free agents want to go to the Rangers. Why? Why? Because you have the guy locked in at the top. You had Sather, now you have Gordon, and there's trust there. You have John Davidson, you have a hierarchy that guys trust. I don't think you have that with the Knicks, and you have to get that. You have to. So that's the number one thing that you have to go get. And there's a guy that is respected tremendously and has unbelievable relationships. And they told us that was Scott Perry. And they've told us that is Steve Mills. And I ask you if you think that that is. Chris in Shore Hills. Chris, you're on 98.7.
Hey, Dave. How are you?
What's going on, Chris? How are you, man?
Good. I think you need more than 2 years before you throw in the towel on these organizations, on these coaches. I mean, the perfect example is the San Francisco 49ers. Shanahan started out, I think it was 2-14. And, you know, you got to get the right guy, but you can't throw in the towel in 2 years, you know, without seeing. You need time. And if you don't give them time, you know, they could have fired Shanahan in 2 years. You would have never saw what's going on this year. So I just want to know your thoughts on that.
No, I think you're right, but I think that there was a belief that Shanahan was the right guy. And I do not believe clearly with Fizdale, and I don't know. I mean, you tell me. You think that Scott Perry and Steve Mills are the right guys? And do you look at them and say they breed tremendous confidence? They told you basically, without saying the words, that Durant and Irving were going to be here, and this was going to be a good team this year. They're worse this year than they were last year. They're 4-18. They just fired the coach, and they have very little to be excited about. All right, we're going to do an exercise in really nothing shy of futility. And here's a request that I'm going to make. If you haven't eaten your breakfast, don't eat it. If you haven't eaten your breakfast, just wait. Because we're going to do something in about 4 minutes, which if you have eaten your breakfast, and I apologize, will probably make you give it all back. All right? So we have a little exercise, and I guess you could say futility, coming up. It's an exercise 20 years in the making, and I'm going to explain to you why, and you will completely understand why the Knicks are where they are.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
Rothenberg with you, Saturday morning, 98.7 ESPN. You can share a little holiday magic at the 12th annual Michael K. Show holiday party. That's Friday, December 13th. That's 6 days away is what it is. All right, here's the information you need. Take it down. They'll be at Buffalo Wild Wings on Route 46 at the Willowbrook Mall in Wayne, New Jersey. The show kicks off 3 o'clock. Everybody is welcome. Joining the guys this year, the hit band American Authors and Jets quarterback Sam Darnold will be in attendance. Show your generosity and donate a toy that will be going to tackle kids' cancer for children in need. They'll have plenty of giveaways throughout the show, including, how about this, an 18-piece Italian suit package from Caracco Suits. The Michael K. Show Holiday Party brought to you by White Claw Hard Seltzer, Caracco Suits, home of the biggest 18-piece suit package. You're going to need a bigger closet after you're done with them. Miller Lite, P.C. Richard & Son, the company you can trust since 1909, and the Roosevelts, that's RSVLTS.com. I like their tagline. Like Teddy, but no vowel. So I told you, hold off on your morning tea. Hold off on your bagel and cream cheese. Hold off on your oatmeal. Right, Nikki, I've told you all these things. Have you listened to my warning, though, is the question.
I listen to everything you say.
Oh, you're very kind. So you have not eaten anything since I told you do not touch a thing.
Of course not.
Okay, all right. Well, that's good for you, because what I'm about to do could make you physically ill. You want to know why the Knicks have been bad? You blame Dolan all you want. You can say, oh, the GMs haven't been good. All right, and that's partly to blame. Listen to the Knicks drafts since 2003. You ready for this? I'm sorry. I have to do it. It's as the parent would say, this is harder on me than it is on you. Mike Sweetney from Georgetown, the ninth overall pick. He averaged a whopping 6 points and 4.5 rebounds in his illustrious NBA career. I'm not even going to do second round picks because they don't pan out. Now, Trevor Ariza did in 2004 as a second round pick. And then, of course, they moved on from him. The next year, Channing Frye and his 8 points and 5 rebound. Now, David Lee, but he didn't do his best time here with the Knicks. Moving right along, the 20th pick in the first round of 2006, who can forget Ronaldo Balkman? Now, 2007, they actually hit, and 2008, and they traded both of them. Wilson Chandler, good player, out of DePaul. 2008, sixth overall pick, should be good, Danilo Gallinari, trade them both for one Carmelo Anthony. 2009, you say, or maybe it's a guy we can keep. Maybe it was. You didn't want him. Jordan Hill, who averaged a whopping 8 points and 6 rebounds with the Knicks. Then the next year, didn't even have a first-round pick, so I won't beat up Andy Routens. Landry Fields was a good pick. Not a great player, but you thought he could be for a time. 2011, Iman Shumpert. Nah. Remember that? We were so excited. Oh, Iman Shumpert. He's terrific. Okay. Now, I apologize for pronunciation. It doesn't even matter, actually. The Papa Nicolau, I guess is his name, but he was the 40th pick, so it doesn't matter. Now, Tim Hardaway, the next year, okay. He was fine. Then you went on for Klee Anthony Early, and second-round pick, that doesn't matter. Kristaps, yes, but no. Frank Ntilikina, Kevin Knox, and R.J. Barrett. That's dreadful. Dreadful. So in the last 4 years, the Knicks have picked 4th, 8th, 9th, and 3rd. Porzingis, almost nothing to show for it. Ntilikina, you know. Kevin Knox, okay. And R.J. Barrett, you like. So in the last 4 years, and this is why the team is bad. The last 4 years, you've picked no worse than 9th. You've gone 3rd, 4th, 8th, 9th. Kristaps, gone. Ntilikina, not great. Knox, not great. R.J. Barrett has promise. If you hit on 3 of those, you'd be a completely different team right now. Omar in Brooklyn. Omar, you're on 98.7.
How are you? Good morning.
Hi, Omar.
Can we have a serious discussion? My Bills are doing well, but I won't talk about
So here's the thing, Omar. Here's the thing. And yes, we can have a serious, lovely, calm, mellow conversation.
Very good communication.
Very good. I think our communication lines are going to be unbelievable. But here's the thing. And just think about this before you start going crazy, because I know you will. You have the Bills. You root for a team that's 9-3. So in the pain that you feel for the Knicks, I root for the Giants. The Giants are 10-33 in their last 43 games. They're a rudderless ship right now. So every time that you want to just explode with the Knicks right now, remember, you root for a 9-3 football team. Go ahead.
Yeah, but to clear this out, you have seen championship with your team. I haven't seen it.
I have never seen a championship
with the Knicks, never seen a championship with the Bills, never seen a championship with the Mets when I became them. So I haven't seen any championship. That's the difference.
It's a very valid point. I've seen so you don't remember the 86 championship for the Mets?
No, because I came after 1986.
So. Yeah, so you have no Mets. Who do you root for? Are you a hockey fan at all?
A little bit. I'm a Rangers fan.
So does the 94 Rangers Cup do anything for you?
Yeah, but I was not a big-time Ranger. I never played hockey, but I followed it, Rangers fan.
You've had a tough run. Although you got to admit, Omar, that the Buffalo Bills look like they are clearly trending in the right direction there.
Yes, and second week and third week we had the conversation. He said, okay team. It's not okay team. It's better than okay team. That's another time to discuss. Now we
go ahead, Omar.
Discussing.
I'm here for you.
Okay. My pain is, first, Fizdale can be fired or not. I sit with my friends and with my son. Everybody was talking about it, that it has become so bad. Honestly speaking, as a basketball fan, you and me tend to agree that they are not a 4 and 18 team. They can be easily 8 or 7 wins rather than 4 and 18.
Okay.
Four losses that we more occurred.
Yeah, they lost the game to Charlotte, but Omar, even if they were 7-15, would you feel good about them?
I will not feel good about it, but this has gone to another path. It has never gone to this type of bad with 42 points and 37 points. Like, I agree when Fizdale said it, that this type of game happened when Milwaukee game last. Look at last night. Clippers supposed to win, odd favorites to win the NBA championship before the season. They lost by 31 points to Milwaukee, same Milwaukee Bucks. Same Milwaukee Bucks. So,
Omar, I don't have a lot of opposing points to what you're going to say. It's hard if you're going to call up and you or anyone else rip the Knicks, and I'm going to exception to it.
My point is that I tend solely, because I get upset, is what do we need patience to teach, or do you want to hurry up to do? There's nothing. They don't stand at the same point. Fizdale was supposed to come in. What I'm upset is that Fizdale was not doing the job right, and the fans were pathetic and eagerly, what are we watching? So they wanted to do something that it doesn't get worse. So we have to stick with the fan base, that because everybody's talking about how ugly they are looking. They're not that ugly. So they were upset. And Jim Dolan paying 7 coaches. How can a person come in and talk to me that the guy is paying 5 coaches? And he fired the coach, still owe $20 million to the guy, still owe everybody, and the guy tells on the telephone that Jim Dolan doesn't want to win. That is pathetic statement. I cannot agree with this type of statement.
I love you, Omar. I love your passion. I love your screaming. I love your anger. I appreciate the phone call. He speaks for all of us. But I think James Dolan wants to win. I just don't know that James Dolan knows how to win. But do I think he wants to? Yes. Do I think he gets in his own way sometimes? Absolutely. But you cannot convince me that James Dolan does not want to win.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com. It's time for a frenzy. A football frenzy. Any team, any player, any question. Call now at 888-729-3776 or tweet at Rothenberg ESPN, hashtag football frenzy, and ask us your NFL questions.
All right, let's go. Football frenzy week 14 style, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz of New Rochelle. 800-919-3776 on the Twitter at Rothenberg ESPN. And Kyrie and Nikki just may participate if I call on them. So let's get moving here. How you doing? Love the show. Big fan. I'm very frustrated. None of that. If that happens, what's going to happen, Kai? What will happen? I like that. That's new. All right, but let's go. Bill in Queens. Billy, you're on the frenzy.
Your thoughts on Jason Garrett as a New York Giants?
I don't want any part of Jason Garrett. I don't want the Giants to interview Jason Garrett. I don't even want Jason Garrett allowed in the state of New Jersey once he leaves his job with the Cowboys. I don't want him. And Kathy always says, well, he brings some legitimacy and at least he'll get you up to a certain point. I don't want to get to a certain point. I want a coach and get me all the way to the penthouse. All the way up. DJ Jersey. DJ, you're on the frenzy.
Mike Tomlin, coach of the year. Steelers defense good enough to go to the Super Bowl.
Oh, stop it. Come on. The Steelers, there is no chance they're going to the Super Bowl. Now, you have two different questions in there. Could Mike Tomlin win coach of the year? Absolutely. I mean, he's on a third-string quarterback, right? A guy that no one has ever heard of before. But go to the Super Bowl. You're not getting by New England. You didn't get by New England when you were healthy. You lost by 30 points. You're not getting by Kansas City. You're not getting by Baltimore. If you get in and lose by 30, this has been an incredibly successful season. 800-919-3776. Willie North Bergen, you're on the frenzy, Will.
How do you feel for Ron Rivera for the Giants?
I feel okay. I could live in a world where Ron Rivera was the head coach of the Giants. I don't love that. It wouldn't be my first selection, but I could live with that. Pete in Staten Island, go ahead, Petey.
All right. I know Garrett's out in Dallas, but yeah. Do you think that they explore ideas of another quarterback, like for example Cam Newton?
No, I think they are all in on Dak Prescott. You don't have to get all that fancy. The Cowboys are not going in some direction that you can't foresee. The Cowboys are going with Dak Prescott long-term as their quarterback, which is great because he's fine, but he'll never win. He will never have a team more talented than this team, ever. They have a dominant offensive line. They have a terrific running back. They have big-time receivers. They should have a good defense, and they still stink. Madden Ultimate Team tweets in, what do you think about Jim Harbaugh to replace Pat Shurmur as head coach of the Giants? I think I like it. Harbaugh, Rule, McCarthy, these are the guys that I like for the Giants. Rivera is on that second tier. Brian in Manhattan. Brian, you're on the Frenzy.
Dave, it's 15 years from now when Daniel Jones' career is over, we will look at him and say that he was like what modern-day quarterback?
I hope you can look at him and say he was like Eli Manning at the end of his time. And he does remind you of that. He's a more athletic version of Eli Manning, but just his mannerisms are very similar to that. I think that's what the Giants were drawn to originally. I think they really liked the fact that he was very reminiscent of Eli Manning, so that's where I'm going to go. In 15 years from now, you'll look and say, boy, he reminded me a whole heck of a lot of one Eli Manning. Mike Farmingdale. Mikey, you're on the Frenzy.
Will Saquon actually have a good game with Eli behind center this week?
I'm hard-pressed to say anybody on the Giants can have a good game. I mean, can he run 18 times for 74 yards? Yeah. A good game? Is he going to go for 23 for 114 and four catches for 57? No. I don't think he's healthy, and they stink. They're bad right now. If there's one person that's going to have a good game, it's going to probably be someone in that receiving corps because the Eagles' secondary is really, really bad, as evidenced by what the Dolphins did to them last week. All right, Nikki, let's see. You said you want to play in the Frenzy, so have at it. It's not a great debut for you right now.
She's working hard, man. She's screening calls.
I'm so sorry. So many people want to do the Frenzy and, just
threw you off your game a little bit.
Just chatting with them.
Okay. Would you like to participate?
Sure thing. First time, long time. Hey, how are you doing?
Kai, right? Come on, give it the buzzer.
I was expecting the buzzer.
There you go. See, Kai's not. Nobody's on their game. You guys like the Knicks.
I was in my double dutch. I didn't want to give her the buzzer, but I know I had to.
Yeah, you have to.
All right. My question is: Do you think Jim Harbaugh will come to the Giants?
Do I think he will? No. Would I like to see him here? Absolutely. 100%. Let's go to John in South Brunswick. John, you're on the Frenzy.
I know you like the established head coaches, but
not necessarily. I'm a big fan of Matt Rhule.
Okay. Well, with all Dan Mullen's successes with quarterbacks, would you like to see him as a head coach?
Not that I don't know who Dan Mullins is. I never even thought of him, so I'd have to give it a little bit of thought and do a little bit of research on that, but I can't imagine that Dan Mullins would be the head coach of the Giants. Mike in Connecticut. Mike, you're on the Frenzy.
Win or lose tomorrow, the Buffalo Bills are going to show America we're not here playing around.
I don't really understand the question, but I think the Bills are absolutely a better team than I expected them to be, and that I even thought they were a couple weeks ago. I think the Bills are legitimately a pretty good team. Jay in Queens. Jay, you're on the Frenzy.
Who becomes a Patriot first, A.B. or Dez Bryant?
Dez Bryant is done. A.B. would be a Patriot first. See his pathetic apology? I'm sorry. No one got into me. It wasn't me. Paul in Brooklyn. Paulie, go ahead.
Who wins the NFC East?
This is just a pathetic
Redskins
question at this point. Who wins the NFC East? I'll still say Cowboys, but I feel embarrassed at this point for both of these teams. I mean, if you can't win this division, you really are nothing shy of an embarrassment at this point. All right, there you go. Blow it, Dad. Not bad. Not bad. The Football Frenzy brought to you by Mercedes-Benz of New Rochelle. Delayed whistle, but that's okay. Team above all a team at Mercedes-Benz of New Rochelle. Visit mbnewrochelle.com. Mercedes-Benz of New Rochelle, proud member of the Pepe Auto Group, driven to perfection since 1968. And because I'm kind, Kai, is there something that you wanted to do quickly while we have a second?
Quickly, my son, Casey, and my son, Makai, are in the car with their mom, Mimi, so I just want to say what's up and get to where you're going safe.
Get to where you're going safe. And from everyone on the show, guys, we appreciate you listening and very happy, happy holidays. How nice was that, Kyrie? How nice was that?
That was awesome. You're a nice man.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com. He's pompous.
Listen, shut up and I'll tell you the story.
He's arrogant.
Do you think there's a lot of things out there that I wouldn't be good at?
And sometimes he's downright mean.
I know you know what that's like, to be that uncomfortable, pimply-faced, not very popular kid.
But now it's your chance to prove him wrong.
It's dumb.
Call 800-919-3776 with your question and let's stump Dave Rothenberg.
All right, here we go. Stump Rothenberg brought to you by the law offices of Andrew M. Cohen. You say, all right, now let's go. But no, not today. This is a very popular segment, and a second sponsor says we want involvement, and that is Seabow Meat Products. If you don't see the Seabow Meat Products logo from the start, don't put it in your shopping cart. Six. All right, are we ready to go? Nikki, are you ready to go?
I am ready.
Kai, are you ready to go?
I'm ready, man.
Now, Nikki, you've screened these callers. You feel like they're up to the level that we expect here on Stump Rothenberg.
Most of them. There's one or two I'm a little iffy about,
why
but
not all
it's
of them?
All
Here's
right.
The question. Why not all of them?
I mean, you know, people get excited. They work hard for their questions. I don't want to, you know, put them
you
down
do realize
too much.
That if the question's not great, who it comes down on, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. 800-919-3776. We'll see if we can have a dominant performance this Saturday morning. Chris and Bethpage. Chris, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Now, I know Nikki liked my question, so I'm safe, okay?
All
I know
right.
she liked it.
Okay.
All right. Who was the first president with a telephone?
First president with a telephone? Ooh, all right. So
yep, and I'll tell you this much. His phone number was 1.
So let's see. So we're thinking late 18. The phone number was 1?
Yes.
So the first president with a telephone, I think, was Hayes, but I don't know if he's the first one to ever... It was late 1800s. I think it's Rutherford B. Hayes, but I'm not 100% sure. We'll go with Rutherford B. Hayes.
That's correct.
Nice. Now, you know what I like about that question, Nikki, more than anything? The fact
what?
That and we'll have to look this up and confirm it. His number was 1.
I will definitely look that up. I thought
that's
that was
terrific.
Interesting.
Can you imagine that? Having the phone number is 1? Call him, number 1. All right. Let's go to Will in Pearl River as we sit here at 1-0. Will, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Dave, how are you?
Will, where are you going? What genre are we going with here?
We're going sports. It's my go-to.
All right.
And I know, so in the 1970s, there was one Yankee who won the American League home run title. Who was it?
1970 home run title for the Yankees. I don't know that I know this. 1970s Yankees. I don't, boy. I mean, all I can think of is Greg Nettles, and it's clearly not going to be Greg Nettles. I'm going to say Greg Nettles, but I know that's not right.
You are correct, sir.
Is that really right? I had no idea. It was pure guess.
I don't know, man. I think you're kind of playing with us there.
No, I swear. I will tell you when I know it. I had no idea of that. It was an absolute guess. The Yankees were dreadful in the 70s. I couldn't even think of a lot of good players on their team. All right, let's go to Lance in Nutley. Let's go, Lance. You're on Stump Rothenberg.
Hey, hello?
Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Go ahead, Lance. What's on your mind?
Basketball question for you.
Okay. All right.
New York City basketball legend, God Sham God.
Mm-hmm.
Familiar with him?
Yeah.
Went to Providence, freshman year. He changed the name to God Sham God. What was his name before that?
God Sham God was... I thought he was Sham God Wells.
Exactly. Got
yeah.
It.
And then he changed it to God Sham God. Yeah, that was kind of a layup. All right, 800-919-3776. Now
I got the pun.
What? You never heard of God Sham God?
No, I said that. You said that was kind of a layup. I got the pun there.
Yeah,
never mind.
All right, Nikki, are you going to play here?
I am going to play.
Now,
I'm actually on the
happening.
Phone with
I'm
someone
on,
right now that just took my question, so I'm coming up with my backup.
Wait, hang on a second. Somebody took your question?
Yes, he called up. I'm screening his question, and he gave me the one that I was going to say.
So why don't you tell him that, sorry, you have that question first?
No, I have a backup one, because I'm always prepared.
Okay. All right. And that would be?
Okay. In the 1900 Summer Olympics in Paris, there was a sport that included murder. What was the sport?
Murder.
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 Death.
It's got to be a shooting event, right? It has to be a shooting event.
What kind of shooting?
Ah, so I'm on to something.
You have to have the specific sport.
Trap shooting.
Live pigeon shooting.
They did live pigeon shooting. That is so good.
It's so sick. No.
They did live. I mean, to think about, 120 years ago, they did live pigeon shooting. Oh, that is incredible. Thank you for that question, because that has to be a better question than your original one.
I really, really like it.
Oh, that is honestly, now see what I told you. I said last week your question was awful, and it was. And you said you only say that because you got it wrong. I got this wrong, and it was sensational. That I'm not exaggerating, Nikki, an all-time great question.
Oh, yay! Thank you.
You go up on the Mount Rushmore of questions. Come on. There was it's a good question, and the fact is great, and you'll never forget it.
Never.
Right? I mean, anybody that's listening now, here's what I'm willing to wager with you. That half the people that are listening right now that just learned that will tell somebody today that was an Olympic event. Hey, Steve, did you know what? You're standing at your kid's basketball game. They're down 7-2 midway through the second quarter. You tap them on the shoulder. You're like, hey, did you know that they used to do pigeon shooting in the Olympics in the 1900s? Right? That's great conversation. That's a conversation icebreaker. I love it. I absolutely love that question. Thomas in Connecticut. You're on Stump Rothenberg, Tom.
Wow. I got to follow that. Okay.
How good was that question, right?
I'm already going to use it at the Christmas party I'm going to tonight.
There you go.
But maybe I can follow it up with this. Entertainment in the TV show Cheers.
Right.
What was the name of the restaurant above the bar?
Oh. The restaurant above the bar. It was the Bull and Finch, but I don't know if it was the Bull and Finch.
Not in the show. You want a hint?
No, the real name is the Bull and Finch, right?
That I don't know.
Yeah, I think the real name is the Bull and Finch. The restaurant above the bar. That's a good question, because you would wait down at the bar and you'd wait for the restaurant to be ready.
Always open the show. You can see the awning when they zoom in on the Cheers logo. You can see the awning.
Yeah, it's a great question to be honest with you.
How does it compare to Nikki's?
It's not at the level of Nikki's, but it's good. It's a seafood restaurant also.
It is a seafood restaurant.
But I don't remember the name of it. Yeah,
I'll give you a hint. It is the name of a town on Long Island.
Melville.
Melville is correct.
Yeah. All right, I don't know if that was a nice question, too. So these are legitimate questions.
That was a really good question. I'm a closet, not closet, but I'm a Cheers fan, so I appreciated that.
Did you know the answer to that?
I didn't. And I've been there. Like, me and my wife went to Boston, full disclosure, one time, and me being the corny guy that I am, I went to Cheers.
And I think the Bull and Finch Pub is the name of the actual Cheers restaurant, and then Melville's is the upstairs fancy seafood restaurant that people used to go to Cheers and wait. All right, Peter, Staten Island. Peter, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Hey, Dave. All right. I got a question for you in sports, but world sports. Keep that in mind, okay?
Oh, great and terrific.
What sports organization has won the most championships in their league since their origination, since the organization started?
All right. So is this – let me ask you this, though. Is this a, like, country championship, or is this a –
No. This is like a city town, like the Yankees.
All right, I'm gonna guess. I have no idea. I'm gonna say Barcelona in soccer.
No, far off. I'm sorry.
That's all right. What is it?
That's Rangers FC in Scotland.
Yeah, that's a great question. All right, Peter, thank you for that. I mean, now, Nikki, this is what I'm saying. I can be stumped and say it's a great question. I can be stumped and say it's an awful question, and that's an awful question. You'd agree with that, right? I mean, Rangers FC. Nobody knows what you're talking about. Nobody cares. I mean, it's other side of the world stuff. It's not a great question. Rob in New Jersey. Rob, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Hey, it's Bob, but it's okay.
Okay.
What U.S. president started the Mujahideen, which morphed into Al-Qaeda, and as a bonus, who was his national security advisor?
Give me this question again.
What U.S. president started the Mujahideen in Afghanistan, which warped into Al-Qaeda, and as a bonus, who was his national security advisor?
Oh, we're not going with the bonus, because I won't know the bonus.
Okay. You'll be surprised, though.
I'm going to say George Bush, the first.
No, wrong. It was Jimmy Carter, and the national security advisor was Zbigniew Zabrinsky, Mika's father.
All right. Well, I did not know any of those, so away we go. Let's go to Rob in Jersey. Rob, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Hi, Mr. Stump. What are the only 2 days of the year that there are no major sporting events scheduled in America?
The day before and the day after the All-Star game in baseball?
Very good.
There we go.
Full disclosure, that was my question originally.
Okay. So I would have gotten your question originally, but the one that you came up with was even better.
It was just meant to be. It was fake.
It really was. So do you think we end it there, or do you think we take one more? Because I always like to end on a high note.
Well, is high note like a good question, or are you getting it right?
No, me getting it right.
Let me give you one here.
Yeah.
Oh, here we go. So look at you weaseling your way in here, pushing you, elbowing Nikki out of the way. All
no,
right,
I'm here because I know you're going to get this. Like
I don't know that
you.
I'm going to get it. Go ahead.
In honor of Rutgers University because we're so happy that Shiano's back, but this is a basketball question.
All right.
Okay. So in 1976, This player led Rutgers to the NCAA Final Four and was the East Regional MVP.
Well, oh, God. Eddie Jordan was on that team. Phil Sellers was on that team. Oh, God. I'm going to say Phil Sellers.
Oh, man, you should have won with your first instinct. It was fast Eddie Jordan, man.
Oh, man. I stink. See, you set me up there.
I set you up.
You set me up. And then now I can't end.
You had it. You just didn't go with your gut.
Who would have thought the Rutgers basketball would have gone to the Final Four? All right. Let's go Eli in Newark. Eli, you're on Stump Rothenberg. See?
Come on, Dave.
What's going on, buddy?
This is an NFL question.
All right.
What player got credit for being the first one to spike the football in the end zone after scoring a touchdown?
So to spike it, it was Homer Jones, I think.
Well, that's correct, Dave.
Oh, then there you go. And then that, and now we can officially, because the end zone celebration, I believe, was Billy White Shoes Johnson, but Homer Jones was the initiator of the spike. All right, there. Now I'm in a good mood. Stump Rothenberg was brought to you by the law offices of the great Andrew M. Cohen. And when you look at some of the great cases in the history of the medium of law, Andrew M. Cohen is involved. The Darrow case, the Simpson case, as we've, gone through many, many times. Andrew M. Cohen very involved in all those cases. Roe versus Wade. It was actually going to be Roe versus Cohen for a time, but they decided Wade was a better sound. So whether the issue is simple or complex, the law office of Andrew M. Cohen can help you achieve your needs through very careful legal planning. It's very simple to get in touch with the great Andrew M. Cohen. All you do is call 516-877-0595 or visit amcohenlaw.com. And also, Stump Rothenberg, sponsored by Sebau Meat Products. If you don't see the Sebau Meat Products logo from the start, you don't put it in your shopping cart.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
And now the end is near.
Makes you reflect, so doesn't it, RJ? Makes you reflect.
It was a very good year.
It really was. We had a good run, my friend.
Listen. I mean, sometimes the trajectory of one career is high and flat for the other. And
Do you see me running past you? Is that like you see the diagram that we meet at the?
I just think about me and Michael K.
All right. When what happens if Michael K. wakes up on the wrong side of the bed one day and says, "You know what, RJ Bell, I'm done. I don't want him on Thursday."
But then Michael K. didn't get to this level by making rash irrational decisions. That's my son that might happen to you if you ever got to the top of the Heat.
I think I'd be a disaster if I got to the pinnacle like that. I think all right, listen, enough of the hijinks. We need to get serious here.
I'm serious. Right,
we need your number two play of the week. People are clamoring. Your number two play of the week is...
Okay, let's think about this. Who did I go with against...
Atlanta.
Okay.
Atlanta. Boy, that's looking Tampa, good. Right? That's what you want to
Yeah, that's looking good right now, actually. It's up to 3.5.
I see that Hooper and Jones are officially active, so you got to feel good about the weapons with the Falcons.
Yeah, and let's talk about that game real quick, though, and we'll cover that one now. 9 times out of 10, when a coach changes midseason, it's advantage for the team that made the change. Why? Because you only change a coach when things are going poorly. I mean, look, the Jets aren't changing a coach. It's not bad enough yet. Giants, not bad enough yet to do it midseason. When it does happen, it's bad. So the change is usually perks up the team. It's like, oh, all right, someone's watching. It's not the same old stuff. And they all start worrying about, do they have a job next year? Even the support staff and stuff. Now, this is different. The line has actually moved against Carolina. And I think it's because of the owner, Tepper. Yeah. And Dave Tepper. And he's a hedge fund guy.
Yeah, he is.
A math guy. And Rivera did not seem to be that. And I think the whole system, the whole organization under Rivera wasn't. And they kind of know, okay, he's cleaning house. So what are they doing? I mean, a guy, and I'm saying this in all seriousness, a guy like you, let's say they were changing formats and going to Christmas music or something, and you were done at the end of the year. Yeah, you'd finish the year. You'd show up and get your check. But you know what else you'd be doing? You'd be looking for a job. You might be looking for a school for your kids and if you had to move. This is reality. Even though these guys make six figures, they got lives.
Yeah, the holidays are a couple weeks away. Nothing is happening for them. Absolutely.
And it's the same thing in college bowls. We're going to see where there's a coach that's gone. There's an interim coach. Each of those games are a handicap and a half. It's just so fascinating to figure out, will the team be up or down? And that's why in bowls you see such a variance in performance. You know, teams get blown out all the time in college bowls because of the psychology of it. The market believes Carolina's in a bad spot here. It's been all Atlanta money. And lane 3 was Atlanta and me yesterday.
So Atlanta minus 3, that's your number 2 pick of the week, is that right?
Well, you know, it's 3.5 now, so I think it'd be unfair to do that. So okay. Let me give one more pick.
So you went on that whole tangent, Atlanta,
to try to
cars,
teach something.
Kids, schools, and it doesn't even qualify as your second pick of the week?
You know something, Dave? I could fax in 3 picks if you want and not have to get up in the morning.
Wow.
I don't think that would be interesting, would it?
No, but I don't appreciate that kind of attitude.
What do you mean? I'm giving my heart and soul to the NYC area, all 5 boroughs, and somehow you're being critical, sitting out in your palatial estate.
I think this is the appreciation people have for us, the give and take. But
I think sometimes they think you go a bit overboard. They're worried right now. Is RJ going to finally say enough is enough to this guy? And then what are they going to do?
I think they'd miss you.
Listen to you with one more hour of the same talk radio spiel.
Oh, I can do it, baby.
Oh, I know.
Oh, I have another hour in me.
I mean, you know what would be great if an algorithm, they should write a talk radio, not you actually, because I actually like you, your talk radio stuff, but a talk radio algorithm that says, okay, who's the home team? Like you only have to enter like 7 things and it could push out like 20 hours of talk.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure. I mean, there's a lot of that goes on in the world of sports talk radio. All right. So you've given us a pick that you like Atlanta minus 3.5. Do you still like Atlanta at minus 3.5, by the way?
You know what's funny? It sounds goofy, but 3 is such a big number that if you lay 3, it's hard to still like it at 3.5. Like 10% of games around 3 like this, the spread, will end up the favorite winning by 3. 10% of the time. A little less, 9%.
All right. So... Give me your second play of the week, though.
I'm going to go, and here's an adage of the week, and this is one you should do well at. You should not be afraid to look stupid if you want to try to win.
you're an amazing man.
No, I'm saying you're so confident. Like, I'm a very confident intellectual person, right? Uh-huh. So if someone says, RJ, you're stupid, I'm going to laugh and say something very witty back, whatever it is. But some people don't want to look stupid, and I'm not naming any names. I'm not naming any names as Livia Soprano would say. But there's some people who are trying to do gambling talk now that don't really know gambling. But they were one of the, and I'm not talking about this station even, and they were one of the, let's say, you know, more knowledgeable non-gambling people, on, let's say on radio or TV or whatever. And now they're like, uh-oh, that's my street. I'm known as a gambling person. But they don't really know gambling.
You sure you don't want to name a name?
No, because I'm not even thinking of anyone in particular. This is widespread. And so what happens? They study up. They try to get better. But how do you do something in a, you know, it's like me becoming like a NFL X's and O's guy. I'm a smart guy. I know a good bit about it. But could I fake and be Greg Cosell? No. He's done it 40 years, right?
Can you give us the second best pick?
Yeah, I'll get to it. Uh-huh. But what ends up happening is they're afraid to be wrong, so they start making all the safe decisions, right? I'm not afraid to be wrong. So second best pick of the week.
There we go.
The Washington Redskins.
Wow.
Plus 13. Now, what do we know about the Skins? We know they're going to run the ball. We also know they have two good running backs these days.
Yeah. Now, is Peterson playing in this game? Geis is a really good running back. I don't know if Peterson's playing.
My understanding, he is. I can look it up in the next commercial. And if he didn't, it wouldn't affect things all that much. Because the reality is Peterson's a big name. But the reality is he's not much over replacement level at this point. But the whole idea of that commitment to the run is something that Washington's been shockingly effective with. I mean, the Jets blew him out pretty bad. That was one of those games, you know, the vagaries of a season. But man, oh man, since then, two good games from the Skins, and they're getting 13. And when you run the ball like they do, each clock, right, shortens the game.
Yep.
And let's be candid, Aaron Rodgers has nothing to prove here. He blew out the Giants last week, and next week he's got the Bears, who's on a hot streak. This is a flat spot, and Aaron Rodgers is famous for not caring about margin in these games. He just wants to win. He's not looking to impress anyone.
Right.
There's no guarantees, but I really believe, and the final piece of the puzzle is, what is the weakest part of Green Bay's defense? Against the run? Bottom five in the league? So we could lose this game by 30 easily, but Washington plus 13 I think is going to win 55% of the time.
All right, here's the latest. Redskins' Adrian Peterson set to suit up on Sunday. Missed practice Thursday to rest a lingering toe injury, but it looks like he will play on Sunday, as will Darius Geis. So there you go.
We're all day-to-day, Dave.
Yeah, certainly I am. They're full running attack in order.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.